Pastor Sally here from Trinity, one of the pastors here on staff. And today we are talking breakthrough. For the past 21 days, Pastor Steve has laid out a time for the church to begin a time of prayer and fasting. He provided us with a handout and posted prayer points for each of us each day to guide us through this time together of breakthrough. That's right, breakthrough. And today, I want to encourage you guys to go to our website and go ahead and begin to download our talk it out sheet. And there we will have various pauses through our time together where you will reflect at that page and have discussion time. So first, I want to thank you for all of your prayers through these 21 days. We have prayed for the church. We have prayed for our community. We have prayed for our nation. We have prayed for ourselves. And there were definitely a lot of prayers of intercession. And I want to tell you that the church, we could feel those prayers. And thank you for those breakthrough prayers. On week one during the breakthrough series, Pastor Steve led us to 1 Chronicles. And he gave us some insight on that breakthrough. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 14, King David was given victory over the Philistines. And you remember those Philistines, right? You remember little David had defeated Goliath. That's the Philistines, yep. But here, God gives victory over the Philistines again. So David and his men went up to Baal Perazim. There, David won the battle against my enemies, just as water breaks through a dam. That's why the place was called Baal Perazim. And now that verse has some power in it, right? That verse has got power in it. And David gives us an example of breakthrough as waters break through a dam. And that is why David called the place Baal Perazim, meaning master breakthrough. That's right, master breakthrough. Now, my question for all of you is that during these past 21 days, have you experienced a breakthrough with God? Have you experienced a breakthrough with God? Now, not all breakthroughs are as big as David's experience, but breakthroughs, no matter how big they are, they are all seen by God, and they are all powerful. Why? Because it shows God's provisions, and it shows how much God loves you. That's right. And also, Pastor shared that some breakthroughs can only happen with the steps of prayer and fasting. He also defined breakthrough as a sudden act of moving through an obstacle, Now, in order to get moving through an obstacle, we have to identify our obstacle, right? And only you can identify your obstacles. That's right. And I pray that you were able through these 21 days to identify your obstacles. And maybe some of you are still working on that. And that's okay. That's okay. My prayer for you is that God would show you and walk through it with you. You'll need to grab your Bibles now. And we are going to be in the book of Daniel today. We're going to be in the book of Daniel. Now, Daniel is in the Old Testament, and it is right after Ezekiel and right before Hosea. Now, Daniel is one of those major prophet books. And if you read the book of Daniel, it is like a movie. Daniel, there are so many adventures in this book. I'm telling you, it is full of scenes from kings winning wars. We've got blazing furnaces. We've got a lion's den. We've got hostages, right? We've got dreams. We've got dreams with visions of things that you can't even imagine. We've got trees growing so tall, going up to heaven. We've got words on a wall that need to be interpreted. We've got it all. And we've got characters too. We've got kings. We've got Judea Jewish young men. Like I said, we've got hostages. We've got chiefs. We've got wise men. We've got sorcerers. We've got enchanters. We've got fortune tellers. I mean, and we've got a prophet, and we have a hero, and that is God. I think I got all the characters. We've got angels too. We've got angels in this as well. I shared earlier that the book of Daniel is like a movie, but this movie that we're talking about today, it happened. It happened, and it's in a historical account in God's Bible. The theme for us today is suffering. I am here to tell you that suffering is not a new theme for anyone's own movie or journey. And is this suffering is not new to God either. So let's dive in to the book of Daniel. During this point of God's story, the city of Judea was under attack by the Babylonians. And this was not their first rodeo by being attacked by their enemies, the Babylonians. And it would be during this attack that God would turn the Judeans over to the Babylonians. And it would be this time that the Judeans' king, Nebuchadnezzar, would capture them. And the Babylonians also had some new captives. And the king wanted some of the young Jewish young men. He wanted to train them. And he asked the king's chief to go get some. And the chief came back with four. And their names are Daniel. And then his three friends are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yep, that's right. That was their names. These young men would suffer throughout the years of captivity. But it was how they went through the suffering that got them through each one and ultimately would lead through a breakthrough. That's right. They would be led through breakthroughs. So Daniel and his friends found themselves captive, but also death staring at their front door. You see, King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he wanted a wise man to tell him what the dream was and what the dream meant, all right? But every time the king invited one of the wise men, an enchanter or an astrologer or a sorcerer, every time one of them came in, they would ask him to tell them the dream, and then they would interpret it for them. That's not what the king wanted. He wanted someone to tell him what the dream was and then tell him what it meant. Well, no one was able to tell the king what the dream was and what it meant. In fact, the sorcerers even told him that no one is going to be able to do what he requested. They actually told him that only the gods, the G-O-Ds, the little G-O-Ds, could tell him his dreams. That those gods don't even live amongst them. Now, I'm not sure about their little G-O-Ds, but the big G-O-D, the God of creation, he can do it. That's right. But the king got so mad that he couldn't find anyone to do it, he asked his chief to kill all wise men in Babylonia. And this included Daniel and his three friends. So, yes, death was knocking at their front door. Daniel had a thought, and he asked the king to give him some time to tell him what the dream meant. Daniel was in need of a breakthrough from God. Daniel was very specific in the steps that he was going to take with God. And here they are. Okay, first, Daniel stepped away to go and pray. That was what he did. And he urged his friends to pray through it as well. You see, he needed prayer warriors along with him to pray through. You see, their lives were at stake. Their prayers were urgent, and they needed God's attention right away. So they started to pray. Daniel asked God to show him mercy, and by telling him the secret of the king's dream. And Daniel needed a breakthrough. Step two was to wait for God. Now, waiting from God, we don't know God's timing. We don't know when he answers, but when he answers, he answers. So Daniel and God, God answered that prayer that night. He began to talk to Daniel in a dream, and he showed him the secret to the king's dream that night. Step number three. Oh, Daniel, he got up and started praising and thanking God. Those were the steps that he took to get to a breakthrough with God. And his prayer of thanksgiving is notable. And I want to read that to you. So you want to grab your Bibles. We're going to go into chapter 2, verses 19 through 23. Here we go. That night, the secret was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised God to heaven. He said, "Praise the name of God forever and ever, forever and ever, for he has all wisdom and power. He controls the course of world events. He removes kings and sets others kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the scholars. He reveals deep and mysterious things and knows what lies ahead in darkness. Though he is surrounded by light, I thank and praise you, God, of my ancestors, for you have given me wisdom and strength. You have told me what we asked you of you and revealed to us what the king demanded." Whew! Now that is how you praise and thank God, right? And he used words of attribute. God is truly worthy of our praises, you guys. When God shows up, we need to praise him. We need to thank him. And Daniel thanked God for giving Daniel wisdom and strength, and by sharing the secret of the king's dream. Now, this is the time that we are going to take our first pause, okay? So you'll want to download that Talk It Out sheet and download it so you can begin your discussion time. If you are with a group, pause and begin your discussion. If you're by yourself, text a friend. We believe in community. Or journal. This is a great opportunity also to journal. And when you're ready, press play again and we'll continue. But if you just want to wait for the 5-second pause, we'll continue immediately after the pause. Now, after Daniel went through those three steps, it was now time to go talk to King Nebuchadnezzar. So Daniel went to find the king's chief guard, Arioch, and he told him not to kill any of the Babylonian wise men, for he knew the secret to King Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Yes, Daniel knew it. So Daniel began to share with the king that no wise man, no enchanter, no fortune teller could ever reveal this dream. So we're going to jump into the book of Daniel, verse 28 and 29. Let's jump into those right now. It says in verse 28, it says, "But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the future. Now I will tell you your dream and the visions you saw as you laid in your bed. Now, in verse 29, David just wants King Nebuchadnezzar to understand that God wants King Nebuchadnezzar to understand what's in his heart. What is in his heart? He wants him to know all the things that is wrapped up. And for King Nebuchadnezzar, he was a king. He was a very proud king. So he had some junk in his heart. So now we jump to verse 29, and it says, Daniel lays out this king's dream for the coming events. Daniel knew the secret because God revealed this the secret to him. The king wants him to understand it. All right. So ultimately, Daniel saw a statue in his dream, which represented King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, the detail of the statue was unbelievable. There was bronze and silver and gold used in this statue. And they all had cross references to them for future events, a future time for the King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. Now, Daniel tells the king, what Daniel tells the king next is unbelievable. The way that God lays out King Nebuchadnezzar's, title as a king. Let's dive into this. It's Daniel 2, verses 37 through 38. Your Majesty, you are the greatest of kings. The God of heaven has given you sovereignty, power, strength, and honor. He made you the ruler over all the inhabited world and even put the wild animals and birds under your control. You are the head of gold. God gave King Nebuchadnezzar a lot of authority, right? That is a lot of authority that he received. No doubt. That was a lot of authority. Daniel also warns the king that after his rule, there will be four other kingdoms that cross-reference the armor that is on the king's statue. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar, these kingdoms are for the future. Let me give you an example of one. Kingdom number 3 represents the bronze that was on the statue. And this particular kingdom will rise and rule the world. Now, these are just a few of the visions that Daniel shared with the king. But ultimately, Daniel's interpretation was divine. Let me say that again. Daniel's interpretation was divine. That's the only way that Daniel was able to share what the dream was and what it meant, because God gave him the secret. God answered Daniel's prayer, and Daniel shared the dream and meaning with the king. And after Daniel's words were spoken, the king worshiped Daniel. I mean, he was amazed. He couldn't believe that someone could tell him what the dream was and what it meant. You see, he worshiped him, but you see, and also, not only did the king worship Daniel, he gave him higher positions, and then Daniel even spoke up for his friends. He wanted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to get better positions too. And so, friends are taking care of friends here, right? And I don't know about you, but when the king said he worshiped him, I kind of thought in my head, why is he wanting to worship Daniel? He needs to worship God. But I think this is one of those moments that we actually get to see just a glimpse of how lost King Nebuchadnezzar is. He is lost. He has true blinders on his eyes of who the God of creation is. You see, King Nebuchadnezzar, he was in need of a breakthrough as well, right? Daniel's interpretation was a warning for the king not to build the statue. But the king built the great statue anyway. It was so big. It was 9 feet tall. You know who else was 9 feet tall? Goliath. I had to throw that one in too. So it was huge. It was big. And it was full of bronze and gold and clay and all these different things. And all of it had meaning. And at this point, you have to wonder what Daniel is thinking. You have to wonder. He just shared with the king what the dream meant. Now, I don't know what that time frame is before, you know, of when he told him the dream and when the statue went up. But maybe at this point, he's thinking, this is getting real. This dream is real. It's happening. King Nebuchadnezzar built that statue. He wanted, not only did he build it, but then he wanted everyone to worship it. I mean, everyone. He wanted people to bow down to it and worship. That is what he wanted. But you see, there was three individuals that did not bow, and that was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These are the friends of Daniel, and these friends were now in need of a breakthrough because these three friends, death was looking at them at their front doorstep again. You see, because anyone that did not bow down to the statue, King Nebuchadnezzar had a blazing furnace ready to throw anyone into it who did not bow down to his statue. And when his guards told him that three individuals did not, and they were brought forward, King Nebuchadnezzar was mad. And he wanted them to be tied up and put into that blazing furnace. In fact, he made it so hot, he told them to turn it up seven times. He wanted it to be made seven times hotter. I mean, this blazing furnace was hot. In fact, as the guards put them into it, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they died because it was so hot, even outside. Now, this is where God shows up. This is where God shows up in a big way. God rescues Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You see, those three men cried out to their God. They cried out to him, and they obeyed God. Those three did not bow down to an idol. God laid that out in the Ten Commandments early on, that we are not to worship idols. And Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they were not going to do that. And they put their life on the line to stand up for their God. And their God showed up in a mighty way and rescued them. Yes, God rescued them. Now, this is another great place where we can pause and reflect. So we're going to go ahead and have you hit that pause button and go ahead and reflect or journal and or have a great conversation. We'll be back in a few seconds. Well, we just got done talking about two breakthroughs that happened in the book of Daniel. Now, we could spend all day talking about the book of Daniel. There are so many amazing accounts of breakthroughs that many individuals experience. But I want to switch gears now, and I want to talk about another amazing breakthrough in an account in the Bible that involves you and me. So we identified early on that suffering is a part of our journey here on earth. And whether it's our health, or we've lost a loved one, or we've lost a friend or a neighbor, we've lost a job, whatever it is, suffering is real. And we go through it with God. So what do we do with that? What do we do with the suffering? Well, I've got a few steps that I think we need to look at. So the first step is, I think we need to talk about it, just like we're doing right now. We're talking about suffering. We need to talk about it and realize that everyone goes through it. Everyone has a story. And when we begin to talk about it, it becomes more real. And we can talk about it and share and have a conversation about what we're going through. Community is what God wanted all of us to be a part of. And when we're in community and when we're talking with each other, now that is when breakthroughs can happen. Second, we also need to acknowledge that suffering is always a part of our journey. Suffering is always going to be a part of our journey, meaning it might not be our own suffering, but it might be a friend or a family member suffering, but we're going to go through it with them as well. Regardless, it will always be a part of our lives. Now, in the book of John, Jesus shares verse 33. I have told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Now, that is a great verse for us to dive into a little bit. And I want to come back to that verse at the end. So hold on tight to that word. In fact, I'm going to say that verse one more time for us. It says in John 16:33, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have trials and sorrows. So God is telling us ahead of time what we're going to go through. But he also tells us to take heart because I have overcome the world. Hold on to those words. Third, we need to equip ourselves to the understanding that God will get us through the suffering. God will get us through the suffering. And we get through the suffering by reminding ourselves how God got us through a prior suffering in our life or somebody else's suffering that we witnessed. You see, suffering will always be a part of our story. King David, in his prayer in Psalm 22, points to a time he was crying out to God through a time of his suffering. And yet he acknowledges that God had rescued his ancestors. He reminded himself of a prior time that God got his ancestors through a breakthrough moment. And it says, yet you are holy, enthroned on a praise of Israel. Our ancestors trusted in you and you rescued them. They cried out to you and were saved. They trusted in you and we never disgraced. This was a great reminder for David, a great reminder. Earlier, I said to hold on to that verse in John 16:33. So in that, Jesus shares in verse 33, I have told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. You see, knowing scripture is important because it's God's word that will get us through these moments. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. So we know this, right? God's telling us ahead of time. And then he tells us, but take heart because I have come to overcome the world. That's right. He is coming back, right? He is coming back. So I want to remind you that when God returns, He overcomes the world. All suffering ends. Did you hear that? There is an end date to suffering. Yes, there is. And I want to talk about number four. Number four is know that all suffering ends. That's number four. Let us point us back to a scripture in Revelations. Revelations 21, verses 3 through 4. Take a deep breath. This is a beautiful verse. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now amongst His people. He will live with them, and they will be His people. God Himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more death or sorrow or cries or pain. All of these things are gone forever. Suffering has an end date. And it's because of who God is. He is an eternal God. He is a loving God. And He tells us ahead of time that there will be trials, but He also tells us that the suffering does have an end date. And that end date is about you and me. It's when God returns and all suffering ends. That is who God is, a God that rescues. We serve a God that rescues. Where has God brought you through suffering lately? Where is He? How has He brought you through that suffering? Can you trust God through His words, through the experiences that you've seen, that God will get you through that suffering? God will and can get you through that suffering times. And be reminded again that all suffering has an end date. So how do we do these three things? How do we get it done? It's through prayer and fasting. Everything goes back to prayer and fasting. So number one, we said talk about it. You need to talk about it with others because you're going to need prayer warriors. When I have gone through times of suffering, I'm on the phone. I'm getting my prayer warriors lined up, set up, giving them prayer points. I know that I'm going to need my prayer warriors to get me through that suffering. Talk about it. Number two, praying through with scripture gives you guidance to know how suffering can lead to endurance. And endurance develops strength. And strength, and then we get strength of character. And character strengthens, and then we get confidence. And confidence in the hope of our salvation. And that comes from the book of Romans 5, verses 3 through 4. I love that verse. And then we need to pray through. We need to pray through. We need to get on our knees. We need holes in our pants because we're on our knees so much, because we're praying through with the hope that God will get us through the suffering. He will do it again. And during this prayer, we also want to praise God and thank God, just like Daniel did. If we know that prayer leads to breakthrough, we read it in Daniel today, right? We only read two, but there's many more. Do we have urgency in our prayer? Do we have urgency? I don't know. You've got to ask that yourself. But I want to give you some examples of urgencies of prayers that I found in God's word. You see, there's three specific ones. King David has a wonderful prayer I want to share. Daniel has a wonderful prayer, and also the prophet Isaiah. Let me go through them. Psalm 17, verse 8, David says, I am praying to you because I know you will answer, oh God. He's saying, bend down and listen as I pray. That's a prayer of urgency. He is crying out to his Lord and Savior. Isaiah 64:15, Lord, look down from heaven, look from your holy, glorious home and see us. Another prayer of urgency. Daniel 9:18-19. Oh my God, lean down and listen to me. Open your eyes and see our despair. Daniel's prayer of urgency. We need to trust God. We need to pray through. We need to listen. And we need to get in God's word to carry us through these days. And I promise you, God will lead you through a breakthrough. As we begin to close, I want to pray for us today. I want to pray that prayer of urgency for us. And maybe this is a time that you need to find a quiet place and find some time to be with your Lord and Savior. Open up your Bible. Find a psalm and weep with it. Maybe Psalm 23. That's a great one to reflect on. As we close, we're going to pray, and then we'll close out with our benediction. I pray that you see God's hand in your life, that you always know that the Holy Spirit is praying on your behalf in days that you don't know how to pray. That the Holy Spirit stands in the gap for you. He prays words that we can't even comprehend, but we know that the Holy Spirit prays on our behalf because it's in God's word in the book of Romans. You see, God's word gets us through. God loves you. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for today. Lord, we want to pray and continue to pray for breakthrough. Lord, we want to pray for breakthrough for the church, for our community, for our nation, for individuals. Lord, we want to stand in the gap. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, that your Holy Spirit prays in words that we can't even comprehend, but prays on our behalf in days of in our weariness and our suffering that we can't even get on our knees because we don't know what to do. But Lord, you equip us. You tell us ahead of time that trials and suffering are going to come our way. But you also remind us that suffering has an end date to it, Lord. And we thank you for telling us ahead of time that we know and we can sit in the promise that, Lord, you will return and that all tears will be wiped away on that day and all suffering will be gone. And we can stand firm on your foundation, knowing your truth. And we can trust this journey that we are on because, Lord, you will strengthen us. Lord, you will give us the hope of eternity with you. Lord, I pray for individual salvation today. Lord, if they don't know you as their personal Savior, I pray that, Lord, they pray the salvation prayer. Lord, that they acknowledge Jesus as your only begotten Son, Lord, that Jesus died on a cross for them, for their sins. Lord, that we acknowledge, Lord, that God rose 3 days later and sits at the right hand of you, Father, in heaven. And one day he will return. And on that day, Lord, all suffering ends. All tears will be wiped away. And so, Lord, as we go through this journey, we trust in you. And Lord, we need to be equipped so that we can go share and tell others that don't know about how to walk through days of suffering. That's why it's important to talk. That's why it's important to share the good news that there is a Savior. There is a Savior, and his name is Jesus. And so, God, be with us. Walk with us during these days. And we thank you for all the things that you're doing in and through our lives. In your holy name we pray. Amen. If you could reach out your hand, stand up and receive today's benediction and blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen, amen. You are sent.